Thank you for joining us this afternoon for Delmar Pharmaceuticals Business Update Conference Call to discuss the company's financial results for its first quarter of fiscal year 2019. At this time, participants are in a listen-only mode, and this call is being recorded. I would like to remind our listeners that remarks made during this call may state management's intentions, hopes, beliefs, expectations, or predictions of the future. These are forward-looking statements that involve risks and uncertainties. Forward-looking statements on this call are made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the federal securities laws. These forward-looking statements are based on Delmar's current expectation, and actual results could differ materially. As a result, you should not place undue reliance on any forward-looking statements. Some of the factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated by such forward-looking statements are discussed in the periodic reports Delmar Pharmaceuticals files with the Securities and Exchange Commission. These documents are available in the Investors section of the company's website, delmarpharma.com, and on the Securities and Exchange Commission's website. We encourage you to review these documents carefully. Joining me on the call today from Delmar Management Team are Mr. Saeed Zarabian, President and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Scott Prale, Chief Financial Officer, and Dr. Dennis Brown, Founder and Chief Scientific Officer. Also joining us is Greg Johnson, an experienced clinical trial executive who is serving in a senior consulting capacity to the company. Following the company's prepared remarks, the call will be opened up for a Q&A session. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Saeed Zarabian. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking the time to join us on today's teleconference. I'm going to make my prepared remarks brief, as the past quarter and the foreseeable future is purely about executing on a highly defined and publicly disclosed development plan for VAL-083, our therapeutic platform asset. Over the past 12 months, our efforts have been simply focused on running the most streamlined and efficient clinical and corporate operational organization possible, while at the same time exploring opportunities to enhance the composite of the company's value proposition via the announcement of the appointment of Oppenheimer & Company in September to serve as our strategic advisor. In this capacity, Oppenheimer & Company is working on behalf of Delmar to identify and evaluate a wide range of strategic opportunities with the specific goal of facilitating shareholder value generation. In regards to our drug development efforts, our fundamental objective is to continue to rapidly and efficiently advance VAL-083's two Phase 2 biomarker-driven clinical trials for MGMT unmethylated GBM at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas, and at Sun Yat-sen University Cancer Center in Guangzhou, China. In addition, we will explore within reason from a financial and resource perspective VAL-083's potential to treat solid tumors in additional oncology indications. Turning into our clinical trials, with respect to our open-label second-line Avastin-naive study being conducted at MD Anderson Cancer Center, I'm pleased to report that during the quarter, the trial continued to enroll at a faster pace than originally forecasted. As of October 31st, the trial, which we have labeled the MDACC study, has enrolled 44 of the planned total of 48 patients. As you may recall, the rationale for this second-line recurrent GBM trial, which was initiated in February of 2017, is based on the fact that approximately two-thirds of newly diagnosed GBM patients are grossly underserved via current therapies as they have tumors with an unmethylated MGMT promoter, which is correlated with high expression of the DNA repair enzyme MGMT. It has been scientifically established that patients whose tumors exhibit high expression of MGMT have a poor prognosis and significantly shorter progression-free survival and overall survival in comparison to patients with an unmethylated MGMT promoter and low MGMT expression using currently approved therapies. The goal of the MD Anderson study is straightforward: to determine if treatment with VAL-083 improves overall survival for those patients who have progressed on temozolomide compared to historical control. Based on recently increased enrollment rates, we're continuing to forecast full enrollment by year end 2018, some 9+ months earlier than originally planned. This forecast, with the caveat that the U.S. Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays may slightly impact patient enrollment rates. Moving on to our phase 2 trial for first-line newly diagnosed MGMT unmethylated GBM patients being conducted at Sun Yat-sen University Cancer Center in Guangzhou, China, which commenced in September of 2017. Similar to the MD Anderson study, I'm pleased to report that during the quarter, we experienced an increased rate of enrollment. As of October 31, 2018, we have enrolled 10 of a total of up to 30 patients in the study. As a reminder, the patients in this trial are being treated with Val-083 in combination with radiotherapy as a potential alternative to the current standard of care, which is temozolomide and radiation regimen, which is currently the first-line treatment for this patient population. From an operational standpoint, this trial is being conducted under the terms of our collaboration with Guangxi Wuzhou Pharmaceutical Company. The study's principal clinical goals are to confirm the safety of the 3-day every 21-day Val-083 dosing regimen in combination with radiotherapy and to investigate progression-free and overall survival outcomes of the combination of Val-083 and radiotherapy in MGMT unmethylated patients. To date, dose-confirming cohort studies have been completed. Based on the dose confirmation phase of the study, we have selected 30 mg per meter squared for combination with radiation for the treatment of newly diagnosed MGMT unmethylated GBM patients during this trial. In addition to the status of the phase 2 studies, I wanted to provide a brief update regarding our publications at last week's SNO conference. At the annual meeting of Society for Neuro-Oncology meeting, 5 abstracts were presented by Del Mar, 2 of which involved our 2 phase 2 studies. First, we provided an update on the MD Anderson study in the poster entitled Phase 2 Study of Val-083 in Patients with MGMT Unmethylated Bevacizumab-Naive Recurrent Glioblastoma. As already noted, we reported that as of October 31st of 2018, 44 of 48 patients had been enrolled. 41 of those patients had received at least one cycle of Val-083 at the data cutoff. 7 patients are currently receiving treatment, 22 are being followed for survival, and 19 are deceased thus far. Study subjects had received a median of 2 cycles of therapy, with 12 patients receiving 1 cycle of Val-083. 2 patients have received 1 cycle and still on treatment, and 27 patients have completed 2 or more cycles of therapy with Val-083. Of the 27 subjects that completed at least 2 cycles of treatment, 9 out of 27, 33.3%, exhibited stable disease at the end of cycle 2. This included 8 of 23 who initially received a starting dose of 40 mg per meter squared and 1 out of 4 who initially received a starting dose of 30 mg per meter squared. We also provided an update on our China study in a poster titled Phase 1-2 Study of Val-083 with Radiation Therapy in Newly Diagnosed MGMT Unmethylated Glioblastoma. We reported the study has now enrolled 10 of the planned 30 patients, and the dose of 30 mg per meter square has been chosen as the dose for the treatment of the remaining patients in this study. Also at SNO, we provided new preclinical data that continues to support the potential combination studies with Val-083 in potential for the treatment of additional cancer indications, as well as gaining additional insights into Val-083's unique mechanism of action. With respect to the combination study, our preclinical data showed strong in vivo anti-tumor efficacy of Val-083 against MGMT unmethylated temozolomide-resistant recurrent GBM. This effect was further augmented in combination with Avastin, providing a rationale for clinical investigation for Val-083 in combination with Avastin in the treatment of GBM. second indication was diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, or called DIPG, is a brain cancer that impacts the glial cells at the base of the brain. We presented preclinical study highlights that the combination of VAT-083 and AZD1775, which is a WEE1 kinase inhibitor, might be a promising new therapeutic strategy for children with DIPG. Ongoing studies will continue to assess the in vivo activity as well as explore the underlying mechanism of action of this combination therapy strategy. Finally, we examined the efficacy of VAT-083 against a panel of 8 GBM cells isolated from newly diagnosed GBM patients. Our results showed that VAT-083 inhibits neurosphere formation in all 8 GBM stem cells. It was found that VAT-083 affects the expression of several proteins and phosphoproteins central to GBM growth. This is a salient and important finding because these proteins have been implicated in several cancers, including GBM. In summary, we reported that VAT-083 is effective in halting the growth of a panel of GBM cells. With respect to the full breadth of VAT-083's treatment potential, this is an area of particular future interest for myself and Dennis Brown, Delmar's co-founder and our chief scientific officer. As we have stated before, VAT-083 may represent a great opportunity in treating multiple solid tumors in a broad range of oncology indications. With the new data from our ongoing efforts supported by over 40 clinical trials completed by the National Cancer Institute, we will continue to evaluate additional indications where VAT-083 may provide better treatment options for these underserved patients, and we will strive to do so in a fiscally responsible fashion. We at Del Mar are working with our world-class partners at MD Anderson Cancer Center, at Sun Yat-sen University Cancer Center in China, as well as with our Ovarian Advisory Board to enhance outcomes for underserved oncology patients. Towards this goal, we appreciate the trust our stakeholders have placed upon us in our efforts to find ways to help our target patient population in the most cost-effective, efficient, and effective way possible. At this juncture, I'll turn the call over to Scott Prail, our CFO, who will provide a summary of our financial profile for the quarter ending September 30th, 2018. Scott?
Yeah. Thank you, Saeed. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this afternoon. I'm going to provide a high-level review of our financial results for the 3 months ending September 30, 2018. I'd like to remind everyone that our full financial results for the quarter ended September 30, 2018 are available in our Form 10-Q filed with the SEC at sec.gov. This SEC filing is also available on our website at delmarpharma.com under the Investors tab. For the 3 months ended September 30, 2018, the company reported a net loss of $1,991,804, or 9 cents per share, compared to a net loss of $2,666,406, or 18 cents per share for the quarter ended September 30, 2017. Research and development expenses decreased to approximately $1 million during the 3 months ended September 30, 2018, from approximately $1.9 million for the 3 months ended September 30, 2017. The decrease was largely attributable to a decrease in clinical development costs with smaller impacts from a decrease in intellectual property and travel expenses. Partially offsetting these decreases was an increase in non-cash share-based compensation expense during the 3 months ended September 30, 2018 compared to the 3 months ended September 30, 2017. General and administrative expenses increased during the 3 months ended September 30, 2018 to approximately $1 million from approximately $740,000 for the 3 months ended September 30, 2017, largely due to an increase in non-cash share-based compensation expense incurred in the current quarter compared to the prior quarter. With respect to our cash resources, based on our updated budget that reflects the strategic direction of Del Mar, we believe we have cash resources to fund our planned operations to the middle of calendar year 2019. If anyone has any questions, I would be happy to answer them during the Q&A session at the end of the call. I'd like to now pass the call back to Saeed. Saeed?
Thank you, Scott. I will conclude by thanking our longstanding shareholders for your continued support. As we continue to progress our strategic plan, the management and board of Del Mar Pharmaceuticals remain dedicated to executing the clinical and corporate growth plan I've outlined during today's call. I will now turn the call over to the operator to commence a brief question and answer section of this teleconference.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. You can remove yourself from the question queue by pressing the pound key. Again, that is star and one. And we will take our first question from Jim Tuffield, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Nice poster sessions. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So I'm a little, I'm trying to do the math. I don't understand how you can get middle of 2018 cash unless someone else is helping to pay some bills or unless someone is augmenting the bills like MD Anderson. Are you anticipating any contribution from other sources?
Scott, I'll start and maybe you can help enhance. Jim, our projections for getting into the middle of 2018 is based purely on the current cash available on hand. So no contributions, no additional capital, et cetera. And part of the reason is our burn rate has continuously been going down, mainly because there was a tail associated with us parking the original START-3 registration study that had expenses that had to be incurred. But those have now completely been incurred by the company. So we're now running basically the two clinical trials I mentioned, the one at MD Anderson, which we fund at a very good rate, and the one in China, which we have very little financial obligation to support other than a little bit of safety and providing drug supply. Scott, can you expand on that?
Yes, sorry, two more points as well, Jim. As we've noted, during this call, as well as on the documents we filed, we anticipate, notwithstanding potential slowdown for your Thanksgiving and Christmas, full enrollment in the MD Anderson trial by the end of this calendar year. So subsequent to that, the cost for that study will decrease. We've also completed, for the most part, the cost for a drug supply. Those are two main items that are at least partially in this current quarter's burn that we will not expect to incur as we move into the next quarter.
That's an important point regarding the MD Anderson, because the faster than planned enrollment meant we had to spend a little bit more money in the last two quarters, but that is now prepaying effectively the future, because once the last patient is enrolled, all of our costs have been incurred on those patient populations.
So the second question has to do with China. It seems like they're a little sluggish in enrollment. Is that your perception as well? And what is being done to accelerate that? Because it seems like pretty exciting research.
It is a little bit slower than originally planned, but quite a few studies that I've been involved with start a little bit slow. Even MD Anderson started a little slower, and then the speed up came after we kind of worked with them and debugged the system. I think we have seen the same paradigm in China. They have screened many, many, many patients, but the ones that are eligible for our trial have been a little slow. But now we went through a protocol education. We have been speaking to the Chinese partners, and I think that has already borne fruit by the accelerated enrollment over the last 3 or 4 months. We had a meeting with them at the SNO conference, and we're optimistic that the currently enjoyed accelerated enrollment rate will continue going forward.
And lastly, with the Oppenheimer relationship, it's been pretty quiet from any vantage point in terms of additional fundraising. Clearly not optimal to raise funds at this price per share level, but clearly also partnerships, anything, ongoing conversations, anything happening that will get us that finish line before those very fast 6 months go by?
I would be happy to share with you the information as we get to a place where it's material to the business. But at this point, there isn't enough progress on any of the fronts you mentioned to allow me to speak openly about it. But we are exploring in-licensing, out-licensing, anything that could add value to the company is being explored in that relationship.
All right. Thanks so much, gentlemen.
Thanks for the questions, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
And again, that is star and one to ask a question. And we will pause to allow any questions to queue. And it appears we have no further questions at this time.
Well, again, I thank everybody for your participation. We will be driving the MD Anderson study with utmost speed, and we hope to be fully enrolled by the end of the year and able to provide data in the end of Q1 or the beginning of Q2 calendar year 19 as originally projected by the trial design. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.